You want some of that?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, right?
Right.
Yeah, you know, like, transphobia is like a big problem, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
Well, I was thinking, like, what are, you know, some ways we could, you know, stop transphobes transphobing? So, what I'm thinking, right, maybe what we really need is, like, a propaganda campaign, but, like, a positive one, yeah?
Right, yeah.
Well, what if, you know, transphobes became aware of the fact that all trans people happen to be, you know, armed with some sort of dangerous animal? Maybe they'll be quieter about it once they have seen an army of, you know, blue sharks
swimming towards them.
And, you know, you be a trans person and be like, oh, I'm going to do transphobia on you. It's like, oh, well, say blow a hi to my little friend. I mean, they are blue. They could be made of denim.
Could be.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they're made of denim.
Greetings, strangers, queer and pleasant. I'm not Laura Kate Magnetdale.
And I'm not Jane Eris Magnetdale. And welcome to another episode of Queer and Pleasant Strangers. It's a podcast for two queer trans women, that's us, we're wifey types. Have a bit of a catch-up about media we've consumed in the week and do silly voices and skits and have a bit of a silly little catch-up. How are you doing?
I'm apparently not as sleepy as you.
Oh.
You're so sleepy.
I'm barely 2 days into the week and I am already, like, desperately in need of the weekend.
Oh, no.
I agreed to so many things and now I have to do them and that's tiring.
I'll be honest, I thought it was still Monday today.
I mean, I've been very confused about what day of the week it is multiple times today. I know I wrote 9,000 words yesterday, which I doubt I did on a weekend, so it's probably at least Tuesday.
Ah, at least.
And we're here recording this, so yeah. Probably a Tuesday for us.
Well, now I get it, but like earlier it was like, hang on.
We're in a little weird time pocket.
A weird little time pocket. I'd love to be kept in a little time pocket. I could play all my board games and, you know, then just pop out when I felt like going to work.
Yeah. Well, on that note, what you been playing this week?
It's not been a huge played week. At least not new things. Like, I'm still playing Pacific Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I've finally sort of successfully done missions in the middle area, the second zone. The runs are getting a lot longer.
They do that.
It's kind of interesting because I don't know if I've mentioned this on here before. I've certainly mentioned this to you personally about how there was like a big issue where people's like save files were getting wiped.
Ooh.
Which for a game like this is upsetting, distressing.
Yeah.
It seems to be a weird thing recently a lot with video games, because I think Deep Rock Survival was also accidentally deleting people's saves. But that's at least got the excuse of still being in early access.
Yeah.
But, lots of people have been complaining about, like, the saving generally, apparently, in Pacific Drive. Basically by virtue of the fact that the game isn't terribly clear about where saves are going to happen.
Mm.
It's also a problem where you kind of get auto-saved with whatever the terrible thing is.
Yeah.
To the point where they've had to not only release several patches fixing the issues, including making, like, multiple backups of your save. Mm. Good plan, nice idea. And then a big breakdown of why there isn't a, like, saving during a run.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least saving mid-mission.
Because
I don't know if you know this, it auto-saves when you load into the next area on a run.
Yes, I am only aware of this because I had the game crash once and it did load me back into the place I'd made it to mid-run.
So apparently there's been a whole thing of the fact that, like, yes, people get it. It's a roguelike game.
Yeah.
But the problem is sometimes, like, I did one run on stream last week, so that was basically 2 hours on a single mission. So to go, there's no manual saving, I think a lot of people have a problem with that. Yeah. Because not everyone's got 2 hours at a time to play through an entire.
And not even that. It's the variability. It's the fact that you don't know reliably how long a run is going to take.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know within a range, but not knowing for sure how long a run is going to take can be a problem, particularly as runs get longer and become bigger time commitments.
Yeah, and I think they've done, like, a fairly good job in this most recent post explaining why they wouldn't be able to do within a single level saving, because that takes it from, hey, it's just a little save, we contained things, like, you can save anywhere you like in the garage.
Yeah.
Because it's a contained little area, it's very small, there's not a lot of objects or whatever, and the objects they are in pretty specific places, and everything else kind of resets or regenerates itself when you're coming back to the area. But obviously there is a degree of randomness in so many ways in a natural level. And yes, I get that from a programming point of view.
Yeah.
But I think they've done as far as I can tell, with this latest patch, they've done a decent job of going, hey, so the new version, like, if you start a new game, it will be a lot more clear about when you can save, how you can save, how often you can save. And they've said, like, hey, look, there's all of these things in the accessibility menu and the difficulty settings that you can futz around with. So even if you're only using it for, like, one thing to go, look, I don't have time for any more of this, you can just go, I'm going to set losing items to not happen.
Yeah.
And then do an abandoned run, which is basically the equivalent of failing a run. Mm. And it will just send you back to the garage.
Yeah.
With at least everything you've collected on that run. And then you can change the settings back if that's what you want to do. Yeah. But, apparently the community has got no less toxic for that game, from what I could see, based on developers' responses to things. But I'm still enjoying it, and I think it's pretty cool, and I appreciate having pride flags all over the car. In fact, I would like more pride flags, but I'm not going to shout at the developers for it.
Exactly.
What about you? What have you been playing?
I can very quickly talk about something that I've been playing, mainly because I've been trying to help someone else have a go at the co-op, because they were reviewing it. So I've been playing some of the Outlast Trials.
This is Outlast, the game where you break into a mental hospital and you've got the night vision goggles, and there's lots of naked people
There's a new one of those, and it's got co-op. And the gist, as I understand it, from what I took in, was there is some sort of group that has basically put flyers out being like, oh, are you in need of money and in a bad situation? Come to us. And people are basically getting put into a sort of, it feels like a religious Christian fundamentalist saw trap scenario.
Right.
Where you are basically, upon entry, like, made to, like, burn all records of your life before you went in. Uh-huh. And, basically everything that would tell anyone outside that you ever existed. And you're going and doing a bunch of trials that are basically, like, earning your way to redemption. By being sent to go to various areas that are clearly, like, sets full of, like, mannequins and cardboard cutouts setting up a narrative, and there are people in there trying to kill you and murder you, and you've got to do your little, whatever your objective is, and get out.
Right.
But all of the missions feel decided, like, there's a lot of very deliberate Christian religious imagery going on from, if you get back successfully from one of the trials and survive, the first thing that happens is you walk into a chamber where your feet are washed.
Uh-huh.
And, like, shit like this is going on. And, thinking of one of these missions off the top of my head, the gist of it was break into a, some sort of, like, orphanage or boarding school or something, and tune all the radios to a Christian religious radio station.
Uh-huh.
Break into the chapel where, like, some of the kids are dancing to music, and go get rid of that music. No, be doing that. And then we had to set some generators up in order to create a machine that was basically a man with a bag over his head was on a crucifix, and we had to saw his head off. I'm not entirely sure why. But mechanically, it's Outlast. It's, you're sneaking around, you got your night vision goggles, you're trying to do objectives and not get killed. But now there's co-op. And co-op is interesting for a game like this, because if nothing else, playing this in two-player co-op, and I know it goes up to four, allows you to occasionally, like, use one person as a decoy so someone can get on with shit.
Mm.
If one person just makes a bunch of noise and goes, "Monster, come follow me," and you're on voice chat, and you're like, okay, the big fucking, the woman with a puppet hand, but the puppet has a murder drill in its mouth, she's coming for me, you're probably good to do objectives for a minute while I try and keep her busy.
And also you have the ability to res your colleagues, so if one of you goes down having done the distraction, you can
res each other. You do need a consumable item to do so,
right?
But then between missions you have like a little store, you have like little stores to buy permanent character upgrades, and they're sort of, the framing is like, you have to go on a certain number of missions and be a certain level of redeemed within this sort of religious cult to be like, you've earned the right to buy these upgrades now. You can come talk to this shop now. You've earned enough for little redemption
you've
tickets.
Earned enough missionary points.
Basically, it's not a game I would have picked to play by myself, and it's not a game I'm clamoring to play more of. And I've not played enough of it to know whether it, like, at any point gets particularly iffy with mental health stuff or anything.
Mm.
If anything, I found it funny rather than scary.
Because,
like, you start each mission, you get, like, a little brainwashing video to, like, try and tell you what your mission objective is. And most of them will usually involve, like, some flashes of words, some obey, submit, and then, like, a man will get, like, electrocuted in the bottom, and then I'm like, that's just funny right there.
It feels like the sort of thing that weird fundamentalists are convinced is what's transing people. Because they've watched weird porn.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I didn't dislike my time playing it in co-op, but I'm not clamoring to go back to it. But it exists, and I played some. That's the thing I played this week.
Ah.
We played a thing together this week.
This is why we don't have a lot to talk about, because we played one thing together for the entire weekend.
Yeah, like, I think between that one afternoon and evening and then the weekend, I think we've put more than 20 hours into it already.
That sounds about right.
So we've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, we've been hanging out with the Jehovah's Witnesses.
See, yeah, this is part two of the big remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
How you finding it so far?
It's pretty.
Yeah,
It's certainly dense if you want to go and do things that aren't necessarily the main mission.
There is a lot of content to be found in that open world. It's not just a big space for big space's sake.
Yeah, it's got Ubisoft towers.
It does have Ubisoft towers. But there's coins halfway up, so it's different.
Indeed.
And a fireman's pole to get back down, so
and
it's different.
And a fireman's pole to get down, and there's Moogle trees, mushrooms to be found. Mushrooms, I guess.
I've been very... I was saying this to you when we were playing it. I weirdly want to compare it at times to
Like a Dragon
Infinite Wealth, in that some of the side quest stuff in this is not only, like, pretty lengthy, pretty mechanically and visually distinct, but also, like, pretty funny in its premises.
Mm.
And the more you sink into some of these side quests, the more, like, plot starts happening.
Yeah.
Like, without going into spoilers, I want to give one example. All I will say is the words Dog Rocket League.
Yes.
Dog Rocket League.
Yep.
That sure is exactly what that was.
Yes.
I'm
not sure all of the teams were evenly matched in that game.
Some of them I'd have put bets on over others. Like, there's some of them that I think have been shown off in trailers we can probably talk about. Like, Queen's Blood.
Yeah.
The card game / area control game.
Yeah, it's a little bit Triple Triad, but different.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying the Queen's Blood stuff.
Yeah, it's an interesting, like, side thing. It feels, like, mechanically a bit more interesting than something like Triple Triad.
Yeah, it's a deck builder in which you've got a 3x5 grid, and each player starts at one end of three.
With a deck of 15 cards.
And your cards score points, but they also give access to other spaces on the board that you can play cards, and power up those spaces to allow better cards to be
or
played
power
there.
Them down.
Or power them down. But you can sort of build up pips to be able to play a higher level card in a space. And it's a sort of... You're trying to muscle the enemy player out of having more spaces to play so that you can then quietly fill in your last spaces.
Mm. Or at least have more higher scoring cards in a row so that ultimately you win that round.
And each of the three rows, if you are the winning player who got the most points in that row, your points get counted towards a total. So there are three rows. Each of those rows has a winner. That winner gets... that number of points added to their total, whoever got the most overall wins.
And as we have experienced, it is entirely possible to only win one row, but to win that row so astronomically well that it doesn't matter, you still win.
But yeah, that's been a really fun side quest that has been threatening some plot recently.
Yeah, there's some fascinating stuff with defeating enemies in certain ways, like going and doing research on certain enemies, which in turn is opening more of the... interesting VR missions. We've got Chadley's Femsona.
Chadley, it's okay if you just want to be Femsona the whole time. It's fine, we won't judge you.
Look, we've all done it.
We've all At done it. Point, we've all done the other persona that's just for jokes.
It's just for jokes. You know what? I don't want to, you know, play a male character in a video game because I would much rather look at a girl's bottom is definitely the reason for that.
I will say, I'm really enjoying the character writing so far.
Yeah.
It's not been too self-serious, and it's been nice having more time to really soak in the personalities of all the characters and the party members.
Yeah.
They've been doing a pretty good job of making them feel like friends you are on an adventure with rather than just the people who are in your party.
Yeah.
I
think it's also been quite interesting the way that this game has handled chocobos.
Yes.
Because obviously in the original game it was find chocobo, it can be yours temporarily, or you can eventually claim it, and then like the whole chocobo breeding program. Like, I don't know if that is going to come up some point later on,
maybe.
But right now it's been, in this area, there is a chocobo. If you find it and return it to the local ranch, it will basically become your summonable mount.
Yeah.
But also, they seem to be regional. Like, the first place we went to, they were regular yellow chocobos. The second place we went to, we had, like, I think they were black ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I feel like I've glimpsed one from the third area, and I think they're red.
Interesting.
I'm curious if we're going to, like, get a permanent gold chocobo or something like that, or if there's going to be something more to it, or if it's just going to be a case of finding stuff.
I must say, I'm really enjoying, like, anytime we've gone and bumped into, like, side stuff in this, it's felt very polished in its execution. It's felt, like, well thought through. It hasn't felt like they're rushing to add extra things in for the sake of doing it and not because they've got a good thing in mind.
Yeah, like, sometimes it can feel, initially at least, when you get a new, like, mission type, that maybe this is a little bit collect 10 bear asses.
Mm.
But, ultimately, I think, like, the more you dive into it, the more you find that it's not just trying to do, hey, we've spent a lot of time on Final Fantasy XIV, and that's kind of the only game we know how to make now. Like, it's making the world busy without making it necessarily busy work. And, like, you could, theoretically, you could ignore 90% of their stuff.
Yeah.
But you will probably miss... extra materia, extra summons, things like that.
Yeah, like, I think a good way to talk about it in vague terms is, like, some of the stuff on paper seems like it would be cut-and-paste content between regions, but they do a lot to change... If you're going to repeat a type of thing in a new region, they want it to feel different. And I think a good example of that is there's a series of missions across the open areas looking for these things called proto-relics. And the first one you look for... largely is a quest of going and doing fighting with little narrative bits, and it's like
against a particular group.
Yeah, and maybe there's a little stealth or something, but there's this one group and they're the narrative thread for that. And then you get another mission of that sort of type in the next area, and without going into specifics, it's a very different mechanic set, a very different set of characters.
It's a whole
minigame. It's a whole little minigame of its own. With a whole different narrative conceit and setting and art style, And it's like, oh, okay, I'm doing another go to this many, like, the five places in this region to hunt down the proto-relic, but it feels very different.
Oh, incredibly.
Yeah.
Like, the first one did feel a little bit like, oh, yes, go to the thing, do the thing. There was a little bit of, like, how will you approach this area?
Yeah.
How maybe there'll be a little bit of, like, stealthing. The stealthing isn't... I fucking hate stealthing in games generally, and... This hasn't bothered me too much. Like, it's been fairly forgiving.
I appreciate that there's checkpoints mid-stealth mission. So if you stealth part the way and you fail, it'll checkpoint you. And sometimes the checkpointing is so generous, you try and leap to a place where you'd be, like, safe from view, and you get seen during the dive, but it'll still checkpoint you to the safe point you were diving toward. Like, it's forgiving, and I appreciate that, because the stealth in this is not its best part.
Yes.
But it's at least forgiving enough I don't mind.
Yes. Yeah, I've appreciated that a lot. I hope it continues that way.
Yeah.
I am fascinated to see what happens next. Like, because there's stuff that happens in the opening of this that we're 20 hours in and it has not come back.
Yeah, we still are theory crafting at our asses about, like, what the fuck is this about?
Yeah.
But it's walking the line so far pretty well between it. There's new stuff we don't know what's going on and there's interesting surprises to be seen, but also feeling very familiar.
Mm.
And it's walking the line pretty well so far.
Yes.
We'll see if that continues, but right now we're very happy with how it's walking the line.
And also, if you're someone who enjoyed original Final Fantasy VII and you're worried, given things that happened in the previous one, that, like, well, that's it now, I guess we're going in a very different direction. I think this, for now at least, has stayed...
Yeah.
Relatively close to the original story.
I had concerns at the end of part one remake that it was going to be complete and utter, like, 180 degree turn departure in part two.
We told you it was a remake. Ha ha, no, bye.
Yeah. And what I feel like my gut instinct right now is instead, look, it's going to be largely the same story, but we wanted to have some room to make some little changes here and there, and we're like, Don't attack us for it. We wanted to do something slightly different, but it is fundamentally the same story. Mm. That's currently where it feels.
Also, I think for anyone who's played the original, it gives you even played it to death, to go, like, this is a bit different. I have wonder, I am compelled to keep going.
Yeah.
And not just because I want to see the things that I know are going to happen.
Yes.
But because, like, there are genuine, like, new things to
fucking curious what they're doing with some of this shit.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this, having this as us just chipping away at game.
Yay.
It's been real nice.
Yay.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy. Have you played anything else?
Not really this week. It's been nothing I can talk about. It's been a
secrets.
Oh, you know, secrets. Yeah, it's been a busy work week of work things. What about you? Have you played anything else this week?
I've had a little dig into the new Vampire Survivors update. There was a free update recently which added a new map, two new characters, two new weapons.
So, I haven't played this week. But I have played that map and character and stuff.
Two characters. Played the little...
I played the little space dude.
The little onion-headed space dude.
Yeah, there's another one I haven't played them. But yes, like 6 months ago, I got to play the director's cut of Vampire Survivors and then get told by the internet, you're lying, that's not a real thing. And now some of the shit from it is in the game.
Yeah.
So yeah, tell us about what's in there.
First of all, we've got a new map, which is interesting. It initially appears like it's going to be mostly just, like, straight up and down.
Mm.
But it's a sort of weird bumpy path, and there's some unusual artifacts lying around in the level.
Mm.
Like the, do you remember the 3D pipes screensaver?
Oh god, yeah, yeah.
Okay, do you remember that you used to be able to set it so that the joints would come up as teapots?
That's not ringing a bell, but sure.
I don't know if it was just a general setting or if it was like something you could do that was like there was a random chance of some of the joints turning up instead of like being straight or curved, they'd turn up as teapots.
Sure.
That teapot, I'm pretty sure that is the t-shirt teapot that I've seen randomly lying around that level as a 3D thing, which was interesting. The enemies have been quite cool. There's like a giant swollen brain person who's been kind of fascinating. There's a space duck It's a little
there
duck.
There is a space duck. I am aware of the space duck.
It's a little duck with one of those little fishbowl helmets on, and they've got a little walking stick. There's also a space rabbit who's got what I think is supposed to be like a croquet mallet or something.
Yeah. So I believe that there is a myth about it's a Japanese myth about mochi pounding rabbits pounding mochi.
Oh.
I believe it's a mochi hammer. I don't remember the specifics, but I remember being confused by this when I saw Director's Cut and having to like do research.
Well, yeah, that in there. The new weapon is like a laser pistol. I feel like I took the wrong character in that level to really get a good look at that laser pistol. I went in with, who's the new one? They're like mostly black, and they start with the upgraded double whips.
Yes, yes. Rose?
Rose something, yeah. Played with that character, and I think as a result couldn't really get a good view of the laser to start with. But I will hopefully get more chance to futz around with that. I've been, but enjoyed the level.
Yeah.
It's only a 20-minute level, so you're not going to get a huge amount of time. There are things to find in that level that will open up other stuff. There is, weirdly, about, I'm going to say, like 10, 15 minutes in, the whole, like, map melts away and you're just left in a weird star field.
Mm-hmm.
A bit like, is it the library one where you, not the library, the one where you first get random items,
mm-hmm.
and you start just by falling out of the sky. It feels a little bit like that initially. That's quite interesting. There's a new character that I've just unlocked who is called Robert with two B's,
mm-hmm.
and they are definitely not Batman.
Wink.
Wink. and definitely not carrying a batarang as their base weapon.
Oh, so I'd seen there was a character on the director's cut select screen whose weapon silhouette looked like a bat, and I'd kicked myself at the time for not unlocking that character to play as to go, are they a vampire? Is there finally a vampire? No, it's Batman. I see.
It's a man with a bat.
Yeah.
A legally distinct man with a bat.
Sorry, man with a bat. Also, side note, I found the thing about the moon rabbits. Ooh. I remembered parts of this and parts of this I'd forgotten. Several cultures, you know how we talk about, like, the man in the moon is a thing that some people see when they... other cultures see a rabbit in the moon.
Huh.
Specifically, Japan and Korea often refer to it as, like, a rabbit on the moon pounding mochi. And that's what that is. It's moon rabbits pounding mochi. And sometimes there are festivals where people make mooncakes for the moon rabbit.
Mooncakes
for
the moon rabbit.
There we go.
Yay, adorable. Well, that's everything I've played.
Well then, time for this.
Stubbs, are you at the office yet?
I'm trying to get into the office, but...
Right, so you're at the office. Why aren't you here? Need to get in.
I'm outside, but my login's not working. My key card's not activating.
Well, why not? You need to get in here. You're the person in charge of IT here.
As far as I can tell, the building security uses the Meta login system.
Of course, everything uses the Meta login system. We absolutely insisted that it's single sign-on for everything.
Indeed, and the problem you have is you need me to get inside the building using my Meta login.
Yes.
To fix the problem everyone is having with their Meta logins.
Yes.
Do you see the problem I am having?
No.
I cannot use my Meta login to come inside and fix the Meta login.
Have you tried doing the password recovery?
I have. It's not working. The Meta login is broken.
Well, you need to fix the Meta login.
Yes, which I can't do because I can't come in to fix the Meta login.
Well, how do people usually get into buildings?
Keys?
That's old tech. Do you have, what's sort of new equivalent of that?
You know what? I think I have a solution for getting in. The building's all glass, right? All the way around, fancy glass.
Of course, beautiful glass and steel. It's
cool.
Oh, it's marvelous.
Cool. I think I've got a back doorway in. Don't worry, I found a workaround.
That's why we pay you barely above minimum wage. You have to hurry up. The CEO's stuck in his meta quest.
You made commitments.
Yeah.
Agree to work on things.
Yeah.
And now the sowing's done and it's time to reap.
I wish I could just keep sewing.
Let our responsible doppelgangers shoulder the burden for you. When they're done, they'll disappear in a delightful cherry-scented mist that's refreshing and packed with nutritious thiamine and riboflavin. Responsible gangers, because, wah, I don't wanna.
I really don't wanna.
So, what have you put in your eyes?
What have I put in my eyes? I went and saw a film this past week.
Ooh.
We saw a film together, but we'll get to that one in a minute. Yeah, let me get this one out of the way first. I watched a film called The Holdovers.
Yes,
so
I saw the trailer for this, and I was like, I think that is a film about people being left behind over the festive period at some sort of boarding school. And you went, yeah, but it's so much worse than that.
Yeah, so I went and saw this on a whim because I'd been... So the thing was, I'd gotten up and set time aside in a day to go play some of the Outlast Trials co-op for review. And then Xbox Live wouldn't let me sign in because it was having an outage.
What?
So I was like, I gotta do something for a bit. I'll go see what's on. And I went and saw The Holdovers. And first of all, it's worth knowing that it is a film that is trying very, very hard to make you think it's an old film that's being, like, rescreened. You know, not only is the aspect ratio and the film grain a little tweaked, but, like, the ratings board information is shown in an old style and things like that. But yes, the gist is, in the 70s, there is this boarding school, and there is a teacher who has been saddled with being around at the boarding school over the Christmas break to look after any students who, for whatever reason, aren't able to go home and be with their parents over the break.
Hmm.
And he's sort of saddled with this because he basically refused to give undeserved good grades to some rich person's kid who attended the school. And the headmaster's punishing him by being like, you gotta look after all the kids for a bit. And it is initially it is the story of one teenager having the worst fucking Christmas a human being has ever had. And this starts, you know, I'll talk a little about the start. It starts with, I was meant to be going on holiday to Boston with my mum over the winter break. But she has decided to cancel the trip because she's got a new husband and her new husband doesn't like her kid. So they're going to go on a honeymoon and leave the kid behind, so fuck off. It then escalates to, well, at least he's not alone. You know, there's other kids, you know, here over the holidays. Oh no, by miraculous incident, all of them have managed to get out of having to stay there over the holidays.
It's except, just you now, kid.
Except for him. So now it's just him and... the film, goes into some depth on particularly why this kid was sad about not being able to go to Boston. And, you know, there are some sweet moments of the film with some character bonding, but, like, it is fundamentally the story of man who really just is depressed and has nothing going on in his life and really doesn't want to be looking after a kid. Kid who is trying not to show that he's fucking devastated that, like, he's stuck at school at Christmas. A cook at the school whose son just died, and this is her first Christmas without him, and they're trying to bond and they're trying to have a happy Christmas, but, oh, you thought that, like, you know, you deserved to make your own little happy Christmas here? No, you are going to be punished for that choice, fundamentally. It's a film that is sweet at times, but it's heavy going.
Sounds like it sets off the bleak alarm a lot.
It is a film about trying to find connection and positivity in the worst of situations, and I can see how you could walk away from it going, this is quite a sweet story, but for me, it just lingers far too long in all of its heaviest moments. You could tell a version of the story that doesn't need to linger in the pain that it lingers in for as long as it does. And I'm not saying it's a bad film. I think it was a well put together film. It's just not a film that I would want to see again. I think it was an interesting film, and I think a film can be interesting while not being a film I enjoy. I'm not even saying I didn't enjoy it. It
was a bit much.
I saw it once and I never need to think about it again. And I don't know how better to put it than that. But do you want to talk a little bit about the film we saw together this week?
We saw Dune Part 2.
We did.
That sure is a film about a white saviour.
That sure is a film about a white saviour. That sure is that film. Positive things. Seeing that film in the cinema sure was an audiovisual experience.
Yes.
I don't know that
I've... I've never been to 4D cinema, but I've never also never been to a cinema where the seats were vibrating quite that heavy yes. during... explosions or
as,
whatever.
As someone who's been to a 4D cinema screening, this is the closest to that I've ever been in a regular screening.
That, while that, staying dry.
That low rumble was fucking shaking the seats real yeah. good at times. There was a lot of, like, visually very stunningly put together shots.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of well-paced dramatic action sequences.
Yeah, I think generally it does... The pacing did pretty well for the most part. There are a few bits near the beginning where it is very much going... If it were a book, and it is, it would be like a couple of like very short chapters of and then this happened for a bit, and then this happened for a bit, yeah. and then this happened for a bit. Okay, now we're going to get to the bit where we're going to focus on for quite a long.
Yeah.
There are a few like quick, like really quite quick scenes of like setting up to try and get where they need to go to get to the bit that there is,
yes.
like, a lot to do with.
There are moments where this film makes artistic decisions that I think are quite strong. I think there is a section that makes heavy use of sort of black and white that is pretty effectively used. There is a scene with no music used mm-hmm. that I think was done to pretty good effect, yeah. even if the visual element of that scene they cowered it out of a little bit.
No.
But like the audio, they did something interesting with. It very much is the story that it is, which is, hey, this community has welcomed you in. You're not just gonna power grab and like betray us, right? You're not going to do that, right? You're here to help us get what we need and not, you know, not here for you and your aims, right? We're trusting you on that. And then that plays out. It yes. sure is the story it is in that regard.
Yes.
But I will say as much as I don't think the white savior character is portrayed as being good in the later actions he does. I think it is meant to be clear that he is doing things that are causing harm.
Yes.
And that is not something where we're not supposed to know.
I know very little about Dune beyond what I've seen in various versions of the David Lynch movie, and occasionally, like, people attempting to summarize it, or just generally talk about world building. Because yeah. apparently, like, lots of people talk about, well, like, world building in that is great, and lots of people have stolen from
yeah.
all the Dune books in various ways, and, like, that is an excellent way of coming up with better ideas based on, like, you can take a lot of inspiration from ideas that have happened in there
yeah.
and do really interesting things. But also, I'm told that it gets really fucking weird as the further you get through the series. Like, when are we going to get Worm Prophet and such? I need the Worm Prophet.
Yeah, it's, it sure is a story that is using the aesthetics of Islam, but stripping them of the religious context they exist within.
Yes.
There sure is a lot of that. There sure is a lot of, what if we used audiovisual elements while not using any of the cultural elements that they are tied in with, or acknowledging any of the parallels that might exist in the narrative were you to not erase those elements.
Yeah.
I think that is an unavoidable observation to make about it. But for what it is, for the thing it was, I think a lot of the big action set pieces were very impressive.
Yeah.
I think they did a very good job with, like, particularly the very large mechanical machinery feeling very tangible and real. Did a great job with the big worms feeling suitably tangible.
I think a lot of the design stuff in Dune is fascinating by virtue of the fact it manages to be quite unique, partly by the way it talks about like the mechanics of the world, like that the ground vehicles have to also follow the not being too much of a regular rhythm, because otherwise they will attract the sandworms. Then you've got the fucking ornithopters, which are just a fascinating idea that you don't tend to see.
Yeah, I think we talked about those when we saw the first Dune. The sort of dragonfly wing-esque helicopters are fascinating. Like, it does have a lot of its own interesting visual elements that are brought to life very well.
Yeah.
They've done some great casting in terms of we need someone to play a absolutely vicious sociopath. They've found some good actors for roles like that.
Yes.
They made some very believable, oh, you are just dead behind the eyes, our friend.
You are, yes, you are filled with a desire to murder and your own personal gain.
You as a child probably sat and murdered your pet cat, and I would believe that if someone told me you did it.
Yes. The Harkonnen homeworld visually as a whole is quite fascinating. Mm. Also, it's not entirely lost on me that the worst people in the universe are entirely white.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
What? Yes, it's true. Some interesting things are being done visually, like, costume-wise, fascinating.
Yeah.
I think we have got to a point where, like, computer-generated graphics you don't spend the whole film looking at, like, either, like, the sandworms or, like, riding the sandworms or even, like, the big, spice miners. You don't sit there going, it's clearly, CG or rendered. You are able to get lost in that and not in a... Well, if you squint a bit,
I think it helps that there is so many large stretches of that film that are just practical sets that they can really pour into the smaller number of things with CG to really get them right.
Yeah.
It was an interesting watch where I need to find time to go read coverage of from people who are not me because, I came away from that going. Yeah, there are elements of this that feel like people with lived experience other than mine probably have insights on that I should be paying attention to.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
People who live in resource-rich desert areas might have better thoughts on than I.
And
should probably be the people we listen to and we go, is this all right?
Yeah.
Still waiting for those. I'm sure people have those reviews will start to come in, because I usually find them quite quickly.
I'm certain they exist, I just haven't had the time to do the thing yet.
It has been a very busy week.
Been a busy little bean. What about you? You watched anything else this week?
That's pretty much it. That was my big one. We didn't really do a lot of watching things. We've played Final Fantasy, and we went to see Dune.
Indeed. It's been that and work for me.
Mm-hmm, same.
Yeah. Same. Not really watched much else this week.
Well then,
time for this.
Hey Laura.
Yes?
We've got a new sponsor.
Who's our new sponsor?
Well, do you need a way of detecting AI in text, images, voice, videos, and just automatically replacing it with just, placeholder text of, no, thank you.
I mean, that does sound convenient. Like, at the moment, I can usually recognize an AI image, because there's little artifacts, but it's just getting harder to detect by the day.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to accidentally interact with AI shit.
Imagine how much easier to detect it would be if it was just, like, a big red X, and as you scrolled over it, it just went...
I mean, that is the sound that a piece of AI-generated art deserves.
Right.
Right.
So... this week's sponsor is I don't want that's AI. I don't want that.
.wall.net.
It's I'd because you don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it. You don't want it.
I
don't want it.
Hey, I don't want that.
Maybe that's how it's supposed to be said. Hey, I don't want it. That's I don't want it. .lol.net. And get the app today. It's a free plugin. It works on all browsers.
Ooh.
Even Edge.
Oh, no one does support for Edge.
Inside the boardroom of Supremacy Software.
Hi.
Hi.
So, I've been working on ways we can make more games with less effort.
Right. And, I love less effort.
Right, less effort, more money.
Right.
And I've been working on something. Let me know if this is a good idea.
Okay.
So, I've been thinking of ways that we can just take stuff we've already made and, like, make it seem
brilliant,
new.
Amazing, perfect.
Yeah, make it seem... Because, you know, we've already, like, you know, bundled up all the stuff we already made and sold it again. And, you know, that we've already done that.
Yeah.
But I want to make it, like, just different enough that people won't notice and, like, come up with some branding to make people not realize they're just buying their old crap again.
Right.
So here's what I've been working on. Supremacy Software Presents. It's definitely an indie publishing label under which we're publishing games from small developers. That's what we're telling.
Right.
It's not what we're doing. We take our old game ROMs.
Right.
Just, like, mildly reskin them to look like they're different.
Right.
And then we start selling them, going like, oh, you know, it's the new game from some reclusive solo developer you've never heard of who, you know, needs financial support in the form of game sales, you know?
Right, and people will want to support the underdog, and also they'll see us as doing good things by helping the underdog.
Right.
But what we've really done is recycle our old crap again, and also manage to split up our entire development team into overworked single-person indies.
Right.
You are a fucking genius!
Oh, I'm not even done. I'm not even done. You've missed the best part. The best part of all this. When we release the games and they're not even that good, they'll be forgiving because a single person made them.
You are a fucking genius!
I know, it's my best idea yet.
Yes!
So,
what have you put in your ears?
I've really not put much in my ears.
No.
It's been lo-fi beats to relax and study and chill to.
Well, those are some good lo-fi beats to relax and study and chill to.
Yeah, they're good beats. They're good, I have to write 9,000 words in a day, background music where I don't register any of the names of any of the songs. They exist in the background in my periphery.
Yeah.
Have you listened to anything this week?
I've listened to some things, but not anything that I think is worthy of particular mention. I was like, I want to try listening to some new and interesting different things, so I've got some things to talk about. And ultimately, I was disappointed a lot. I started listening to lots of different things and went, this isn't really what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I did do, like, a re-listen of the first 8 episodes of The Magnus Protocol, but mm-hmm. we've already talked about that to death, pretty much. So, yeah, not really. Not been a big new listen week, unfortunately. But, well, hopefully there will be new things to listen to soon.
Ooh.
Well then. Time for this. Thank you so much. I am just so glad that you are going to be signed on to be in our latest addition to the cinematic universe. It's going to be so good to have you on board. You will be joining just some of the greats throughout Hollywood who have made just this entertainment in the form of superhero adventures. Just so many great, great IPs that we have, and we're so glad that you could join our family of just great superhero characters.
Okay, well, before we sign, I've been hearing that there's been some confusion that's happened, and I want to make sure I know what I'm signing on for.
Of course,
this is a superhero movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, correct?
Absolutely. This is, like, up front, it's a Marvel movie, and you're gonna be a big part of that. You're gonna be the next big thing in the Marvel Universe, and it's gonna be so good for you, and so good for us, and we're so looking forward to the start of Phase 5.5, and it's just gonna be so good, and you're gonna be just a key part of it.
Okay, so you said some words that weren't exactly what I was looking for you to say. Is this one of those Sony ones? The not good Sony ones that are...
Oh, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be a great film. I mean, we've got, like, a huge budget. We've got some huge names on. We've got, you know, we're just throwing money at this, you know, just like all the other movies in this franchise, and I think you're gonna be a great fit for us.
Look, once again, you didn't say you weren't one of the Sony ones, so I'm a bit worried. So
no, this is the big ones. These are the big ones, and you want to be part of this. You want to be part of this.
Okay. I have one more question for you. Just one, and you just yes or no.
Shoot.
In this movie, would a character be allowed to say the name Peter Parker?
We will be talking a lot about Ben Parker. And I believe May Parker is also in this. There wouldn't be any particular reason to mention Peter Parker.
Yeah,
in
but
this
could
film.
You? Could you if you wanted?
Well, I mean, that's not really going to be in the script. So I mean, there's no reason that would come up. And you know, I think it's just going to be. It's just look, we just be in the fucking film, okay? Cause,
yeah, no.
Cause people, please, we can't have another movie with fucking Jared Leto. Please, you gotta help us out, please.
No,
we've only got that one tracking shot over the smoky forest at the beginning of our film, please.
No, I'm sorry, I'm leaving, goodbye, have a good fun with Sony.
They told me I'd be working in the Marvel films.
Do you struggle to remember your alarms?
Mm-hmm.
Do you sometimes find yourself just hitting the cancel alarm button and then not actually having done the thing the alarm was set for?
Yeah.
Then we have the product for you. We've harnessed the power of a bored child in the back of a car on a long journey to help you remember things while stopping you from just closing the alarm.
Snooze.
Are we there, alert? Are we there? Are we there? Are we there? Are we there? Are we there?
Snooze. Can we
there? Are we there?
Okay.
Have you taken any meds? Have you taken any meds?
Okay, I'll take them.
Have you taken any meds? Have you taken any meds?
Okay, yes.
Are we there, alert? Download it today, because you keep forgetting, don't you?
Maybe.
Do you know what I want to see more of?
What do you want to see more of?
Racial Justice Warriors.
Racial Justice Warriors?
Yeah.
All right, Larry.
All right, Barry. How you doing?
Oh, you know, mate, my best. You doing all right?
Doing as best I can, you know. Try not to complain.
Well, you know, I'm not above complaining, mate. But, you know, obviously there's a lot to complain about at the moment.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to complain about in the world, but most of it, you know, big things outside of me at the moment.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. It's been big things outside of me very heavy year already. And,
I've been... I've been a bit frustrated seeing, a sort of drop-off in people talking about what's going on in Palestine.
It's been
pretty exhausting seeing, you know, that shit there is still going as badly as it is, and that the energy seems to be dying down a little in terms of keeping up that sort of protest which, you know, to a degree I can't blame people. It's hard to emotionally to keep up with and keep on top of what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's important to do so, I think, because, like, the people in Palestine right now are still being, like, you know, corralled into smaller and smaller, you know, corners of Gaza.
Yeah, and usually the corners that they've been told will be the safe places to go to refuge, and then you know, they immediately get bombed or whatever.
Exactly, you know.
People can barely get water across a bare road because, you know, there's snipers taking pot shots at them. And,
yeah, exactly.
And then I believe there was a sting or a honeypot operation recently where they said that there was going to be food supplies delivered, and then they used that as an excuse to, you know, massacre another bunch of Palestinian people.
Yeah, the situation seems to be, we open the door and let some aid through. People, understandably, were quite desperate to get to that aid, having not had any, you know, food coming in for quite a fucking long time.
Yeah.
And that was used as an excuse to be like, well, we up here up on this wall fear for our safety from a distance, better fire some fucking shots off.
What did they see? A fucking acorn?
Yeah. And, you know, it's important to keep calling for a ceasefire, because, in the immediate term, you know, the shelling and shooting needs to stop.
Yeah, and we also need to, you know, stop the bullshit of, you know, both sides of, oh, well, we need to remember, you know, October, what happened in October. But, well, let's not forget, you know, what's been going on for years.
Indeed. And it's one of those things where, you know, people need to remember that the rhetoric needs to not end at calling for a ceasefire. Ceasefire is not victory for Palestine. You know, a ceasefire is step one on a road that needs to eventually lead to a liberated Palestine. A Palestine that is not living under military occupation, having its land seized constantly and ever more so, you know. You know, the people of Palestine, it's been said before, but, like, you know, they are not allowed to enter and leave out of their own volition. They are not allowed to have their own airport. They are not allowed to, you know, their lives are not their own. Their access to water and electricity is controlled by a different nation. You know, that situation cannot be the situation forever. Yeah, and, you know, a ceasefire is step one on a road towards, you know, a Palestine that can, at the very least, have some control over its own, you know, its own, you know, its citizens can have control over their own lives, you know.
You know, all their lands, their possessions need to be paid, and I think, you know, we need a situation where the Israeli government is forced to pay reparations and to, you know, work on rebuilding the settlements that have been lost, the everything that's been lost, because it's been shelled flat, as far as I can see, from a lot of the satellite footage, like the number of bombs that have gone off, the number of institutions, like schools, hospitals, universities.
We know for a fact, every single hospital in Gaza has been bombed.
Yeah.
Every single university has been leveled to the ground.
Yeah.
Most of the schools have been bombed. You know, and so many of it is like, oh yeah, bombs directed at things like record keeping places, at museums, at places of cultural significance.
Yeah, there's no way of tracing anyone's record or any property, where and when they were born, births, deaths, marriages, all those sorts of general things.
Sure, seems like a thing you would do if you were gonna try and make it easier to deny people's right to their land so you could seize more of it. It's fucking depressing, but you know, people need to keep that energy up and not feel like this is a defeated fight, and that like I've seen some people go in like, well, at this point, so much devastation's been done. Like, if we stop the fighting now, like, what even is there left for Palestine? It's like, you can't be defeated like that.
Can't sort of say, well, it's too late to stop now. So let's just not bother. That's just
putting your hands up and going, oh yeah, let them finish off the genocide.
Well, you know, you've done most of a genocide. You might as well finish it.
Exactly. No, you've got to keep that fucking energy up more now than ever, because, like, you know, you cannot let this be the snuffing out of an entire people.
It's disgusting. I honestly don't move in quite the same social network, all the same social network areas you do, so. The areas I've seen are, honestly, I haven't seen a lot of change of what people are talking, but I think a lot of that is I'm seeing things from journalists on the ground, people on the ground, still seeing lots of people saying, you know, we need to keep up the boycotts, we need to keep up the pressure in any way we can, and keep, you know, writing to your elected officials. And you know, demanding they step in. And, you know, if nothing else, that is creating a paper trail of people who will know that, you know, hopefully there will be a record that these people were in the wrong.
And I think there is, the pressure is creating a little bit of a turning point. Like, as minor as a thing as this is, Joe Biden over in the US has finally started saying that a ceasefire needs to happen, which... way too fucking late on the point.
But
he seems to be starting to realise that this is, like, genuinely threatening to ruin his chances of getting re-elected.
Yeah.
And, like, that kind of shit is the effect of pressure, is that sustained pressure will eventually start going, oh, fuck, unless I change my stance on this, I am going to lose power.
I can't just do, you know, the things I've decided I'm going to do, regardless of what anyone wants.
I can't.
And there are actually, you know...
Yeah.
Open consequences as opposed to, you know, nothing.
Biden is realizing that not Trump is not enough to keep him in power when he is actively going against the position of so many people that theoretically would be voting for him.
Well, you know, hopefully, you know, Britain can get its head out of its arse and... I mean, it certainly doesn't help that, you know, a lot of the... means of protest are being, you know, watered down legally, and people's rights are being stripped away. So obviously people are having greater difficulty making themselves heard in that respect, but hopefully it's not going to, you know, people are going to start to listen, people in power are going to start to listen and are going to take things seriously before we have yet more self-immolation protests.
Indeed, indeed.
Fancy hug, mate.
Yeah.
Good hug, mate. Good hug. Right, I think I'll go and have a little lie down.
Oh, sounds lovely.
So, Laura?
Yes?
You do things, and those things are on the internet, and people might like to find those things on the internet. Where would people do that?
I mean, people can find the stuff that I do on the internet at Laura K. Buzz pretty much everywhere. Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, TikTok, Blue Sky, Mastodon, Patreon, that's the one that pays the bills. The big thing I would suggest going and checking out that has published since the last episode of this, go check out the Sujimon rap over on youtube.com/LauraKBuzz. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth has a Pokemon knockoff called Sujimon with 150 Sujimon, and I might have gone and made a PokeRap parody singing the names of all 150 Sujimon and then got Jonathan off of Road Rules, that lovely Jonathan Holmes, from Talking to Women About Video Games, to sing the Sujimon rap. Ooh. And there's a video with all the pictures of all the Sujimon. Go check it out. That is a stupid amount of work that I'm, like, weirdly proud of, that silly little video.
Yeah.
What about you? Where are you at on the internet?
Well, I don't have the unified branding, but I do have a link tree. It's linktr.ee/janiac, J-A-N-E-I-A-C. You can find the music I make, the t-shirts I design, the things I write and otherwise do. You can help support me at patreon.com/stonetomonkeyradio. For as little as $1 a month, you can help me justify all the things and help me make more things. It's been a real difficult time. Lots of people struggling over the winter period, as is often the case. So, maybe you can help boost some numbers up again, because that will be much appreciated. I think that's everything. So, Laura?
Yes?
Will you sing us out, please, darling?
Until next time, be a stranger.